إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers, on the subject of our state, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن الإنسان لفي خسر ولس إن الإنسان لفي خسر, that we are in a state of loss. We spoke about the issue of the criterion of judgment of what is loss, what is gain. We looked at the issue of the objective, which is to get Jannah and to be freed from the fire. And we looked at the purpose of our creation by which we can judge our actions to see if those actions are beneficial or not. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجَنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Having looked at these three things, I hope it is clear the overall meaning of إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we are in loss? And we are in loss because this dunya keeps us in a state of forgetfulness, keeps us in a state of ghafla. And as I explained to you yesterday, the entire materialistic consumerist system, the advertising that goes with it, all the brand consciousness, all the social networking and so on and so forth. Obviously, like everything else, everything has a upside to it and a downside to it, everything has a good side to it and a bad side to it. So, but the key thing is for us to seriously look at our own lives and see how much of that so-called good thing we are getting. For example, one of the things that people always spring up to defend is television. So television is not all bad. Well, nobody said it's all bad. But look at your own television watching pattern. For example, if I ask you, last night what programs did you watch? And you might say, well, I did not see anything haram. I saw everything beneficial. I say, okay, please name for me what beneficial thing did you see? Well, you saw, I saw this so-and-so news channel, CNBC or whatever. And then I saw Discovery. And then I saw Animal Planet. And then I saw a program on science, which is fantastic, very nice. So you are a brilliant television watcher who watches only halal. Now please tell me, out of these four programs, here is a piece of paper. Tell me one thing that you recall. I'm not even saying learnt. One thing that you recall, that you remember from last night, please write down. I will guarantee you that 99.99999999999% of the people will not even remember one thing, one beneficial thing of the programs that they watched the previous night. And if you think I'm exaggerating, try it for yourself. Those of you who watch television, as you listen to this, sit down and tell me, what do you remember from last night? So how was it beneficial? Okay, so you were not watching something which is haram, alhamdulillah, but you could have gone to sleep just as well. You could have just gone to sleep just as well for the benefit that it did to you. What benefit? How was it beneficial? And if I now start asking you some more questions, and when I'm asking the question, I'm asking the same question to myself, alhamdulillah, I don't even have a television at home. So this one doesn't apply to me. But I'm saying that if I ask you the same questions, to say that during all those programs, how many times did you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then we are in some serious trouble. If I ask you a question and say, okay, so now that 0.0000 whatever percent of people who actually can recall what they saw last night or what they heard last night, I can say, all right, so now what benefit did that give you? For example, on the television, you would have seen all the stuff that is happening in Palestine, for example. Israel is doing this and they are killing all the children in Gaza and so on. Alhamdulillah, okay. So this is happening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be merciful to them. Now, did that program result in making you wake up for tahajjud and praying two rakat of salah and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the people of Gaza. Did that program enable you to do that? And if that didn't happen, then what was the good of watching that program? How are you any different from somebody who did not watch the program? No different. Similarly, one of the things that we constantly get this pushback, which is social networking. We say, no, but you see, Facebook is so beneficial. Or I should tell me, how has Facebook benefited you? How has Facebook benefited you? Like somebody said, I'll teach you a way how you can make money out of Facebook. So the man said, how? He said, shut it down, remove your account, and go out and work. Yeah? So how has Facebook benefited you? Oh, but you see, Facebook can be used for dawah. Oh, fine. I agree all that. My point is, are you using it for dawah? Who are you giving dawah to? What do you know? How much do you know in order to give dawah? Seriously, we must analyze our own lives. Because that 1 minute also, if it is being spent in a useless pursuit, is keeping us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is taking us away from the zikr of Allah, is involving us in ghafla. It is putting us in a situation which is zero benefit. There is no benefit of the dunya or akhirah. That is the point I am making. So we need to analyze this issue of khasara. What is this loss? And look at our own lives, action by action, pursuit by pursuit, involvement by involvement, and say, what benefit am I getting? What books did you read in the last 3 months? How did those books benefit you? Not just reading. Read and do what? I'm not even talking about religious books. Somebody tells me, he said, I've been reading a book for the last 1 year, 12 months, and I have not understood anything of it. But I'm still trying to complete it. So obviously I've not even finished it. I said, which book is it? He's telling me a book by Sheikh Mahiuddin Ibn al-Arabi, rahmatullahi alayhi. So I told him, what do you know to be able to understand the writing of Sheikh Mahiuddin Ibn al-Arabi? Who told you to read Ibn al-Arabi first? So this is our approach. Even if you pick something that you don't have a hope in hell of understanding. So what books are you reading? What are you benefiting from those books? Your professional books, for example, whatever profession you are in, what professional journals are you reading? What are the latest developments in your profession? What are the latest discoveries? What are the latest developments? What do you know about that? How can you take that knowledge and apply it? It's not just a matter of knowing. Many people know many things. It's the issue of applying that and converting it into a measurable benefit. That's what counts. So what have you done with that? Unless we analyze our lives, believe me, time goes. Time goes so fast, you won't believe. Time goes so fast, you won't believe. And at the end of the day, when you analyze it, that's what the surah is about. It is about time. And it is about analyzing what you did with that time. When you analyze it, you find that there's nothing that you can show for it. You have been trying to collect water in a basket. Nothing at the end of it. As long as you hold the basket under the surface of the water, it looks like it's full. Lift it up, it's gone. Nothing there. What kind of questions are you asking? In my assessment, when I look at people, I assess people by the quality of questions I get. Because some people, until they ask you a question, you think, oh, you know, mashallah, good person, he's dedicated and so on. But the moment he opens his mouth, you realize where he is. He's somebody who's not applied his brain, someone who's not applied any intelligence. He's asking some dumb question for God knows what, wasting his time, wasting my time. Just a question. That question is an assessment of the person. It shows you have no application. You ask a question, you have no sense of what you are asking. If you think for 10 seconds, you can answer the question yourself. Many, many things to in life to think about and to analyze and to assess. And very important to get your children involved in this. Because if you do not get your children involved early enough in this, then you will have serious problems. And many times I have seen this. I have seen people, I have been asked to come and counsel this person and that person. And you know, all people come and say, please talk to my son, talk to my daughter. I don't know how they became like this. I say, oh, that is the biggest joke of the century. You brought them up. You brought them up. They grew up in your house for 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever it is. And you don't know how they became like this. That is the biggest joke of the century. So you are a what? A zombie or something? How come you don't know? Your child. You bring up the child. And you are surprised. How did this child become like this? Ajeeb. Because there is no involvement. There is no involvement. The people think that bringing up a child means to feed it. Feed the child, clothe the child, keep it in a dry place, give it a few gadgets. Alhamdulillah, my job is over. And then one day you wake up and find this monster that you created, who has no adab, who has no respect, who doesn't care two hoots about you because he thinks you are an ATM machine. How can you respect an ATM machine? What is there to respect an ATM machine? And then you are very surprised. Children don't have any concern, they don't have any other. No, they have exactly what you gave them. Don't blame the child. There is no such thing as an evil child. They have exactly what you gave them. Simple as that. If you didn't give it, they don't have it. Illa mashallah. Some people get from other sources, they have good company, so on and so forth. At least we used to live in connected communities once upon a time. We had joint families and so on. And, you know, I grew up in a house with lots and lots of very wise and good relatives. Subhanallah, the house I grew up in, I mean, you know the place. In my entire childhood memories of Aziz Bagh, just one thing I'll tell you. In my entire childhood memories, I was born in that house. I grew up in that house. Many years I lived in that house. With my grandparents and their brothers and sisters and my mother and father and my mother's family. In all the years that I grew up in, I never heard a single time one curse word. Not even one. I never heard any of my elders using a bad word to somebody. In my entire childhood, that growing up in that entire period, I never in my life, I don't know whether the man even knows, maybe I'm sure he knows, but I've never heard one bad word from any one of them. I'm talking about the kind of atmosphere. And believe me, they are not Anbiya or Awliya Allah or, you know, great Shuyukh or, no. Alhamdulillah, that whole family is a family of learned people. So there are people, mashallah, with knowledge. But I'm saying that the atmosphere was like that. It was clean. So at least people used to learn. I mean, even if you are not particularly greatly dedicated to upbringing of your children, somebody else did your job for you. But today we live in insular families, isolated. There is no sohbat, there is no tarbiyah. Just reflect on and say, your child, in the last 1 month, how many elders has that child spent time with who the child can look up to as role models? I will be surprised if most of you can name even one person. that that child spend some useful time with somebody who they can look up to as role models. Then how is the child going to learn? From another 10-year-old, another 5-year-old, or another, you know, 15-year-old, or whoever in their school or whatnot, they are going to be the. That's exactly what is happening. Who are the role models? Two lots. One is their own classmates and schoolmates who are as dumb and stupid as they are, because I mean they are the same age. What do they know? And the second one is what they see on television. Football players, cricket players. And what do you hear about the football players and cricket players? I mean, illa mashallah, you got alhamdulillah. At least in cricket players, I know a couple who are not like that. But other than that, all you hear is about the evil of their lives, nothing else. Or film stars, or rock stars, or whatnot. These are the role models of our children. These are the role models of our children. And then we are very surprised. How did my child become like this? You made him like this. Nothing to be surprised about. You made him like this. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Urdu mein ek sher hai. Hum to doobe hain sanam, tujhko bhi le doobenge. That's what the parents are saying to the children. You are in loss and you want the child also to be in loss. So seriously, inna al-insana lafi khusr. Let's sit and analyze our lives before it is too late. Every day we are burying our people. Every time I go to the Qabristan, or every time I go and do somebody's salat to janazah, I think about myself. I say, one day somebody is going to be doing this for me. People go to pray salat to janazah, they don't even know what they are praying. Imagine, kaisi ghaflat hai. And how many times we have. Imagine, for example, one of the things I'll tell you, I laugh at this. Ask someone to give the iqamah. I'm talking about people who pray regularly 5 times a day. Many of them pray 5 salat in the masjid. Ask them to call the iqamah. I mean, how many, all kinds of things people, every day you are listening to the iqamah. Every single day you are listening to the iqamah. You don't know to give the iqamah. I mean, how complicated is it? If you are Hanafi, the iqamah is exactly like the adhan, with only qad qamati salah added at the end. That's it. It's the same thing like the adhan. 4, 2, 2, 2, 2. And if you are giving it in the way of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi, it is 2, 1, 1, 1, 1. With qad qamati salah 2 at the end. That's it. What is so complicated? Why can't you give the iqamat correctly? Because even in salah, when you are standing there with your mind gone somewhere. So you listen to the iqamah every single day, 5 times a day, and still you cannot give the iqamah correctly. I mean, isn't it absolutely shameful? But we have become so used to living a life of as if you are in a trance, you know, drunk. And that's what the dunya does to. The dunya gets you drunk. Nasha hai dunya ka, aur kuch bhi. This is a intoxication of the world. Just think about the word intoxication. What is toxic? How can intoxication be good? Intoxication is you are that toxic you are taking inside. That is the dunya. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Inshallah, we will talk about the rest of it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasu bil haqqi wa tawasu bis sabr. But think about this, I remind myself and you to analyze this and see what we are doing with our own time, with our own lives, with the opportunities that come to us on a daily basis. Nobody can say opportunity did not come. It comes every day. What is it that we are doing with it? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and save us from that which is not pleasing to Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.